Okay, well, we're rolling. Romans 4. We're going to pick up at verse 1. I don't know if we got into that last week, but we were close to that. And we're talking about the principle of faith, how God is able to justify man by faith, or as we saw last week, through faith, whether it's from the Jews' written record, or if it's just from a Gentile responding to what God said. The main thing is, does that person believe what God said? We know that without faith it's impossible to please Him, and that is God's basis for the believer. Whatever we access at any time, any dispensation, any program, any plan, any person, if they want to please God, if they want to benefit from what God has to offer, they have to respond in faith. That is the key to unlock the blessing, is faith, not works, but faith. So we'll pick up at verse 1. Tell you what, we'll just read down to verse 7. Well, we won't read that far. To verse 5. And we obviously will go farther than that, but let's read down to there and open in prayer. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward reckoned of grace. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we are prepared to spend in your word. We pray, as always, for open hearts and minds. We pray the Holy Spirit would take the words and enlighten our understanding as we read and believe your word. We pray for each member here that you would strengthen us according to our needs. We pray for the saints that are abroad, for those who may be on their way, and for those who have no concern at all. We thank you for our government. We pray that they may continue to make the decisions that allow us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And we pray for all those who labor in the word and doctrine, that they might be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we, as we go forward, we just thank you in advance for the blessing that we receive from the reading and believing of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? And Paul, is the natural progression of his argument is, he just came out of chapter 3 where he said God is... the basis for God justifying a man is by faith. In verse 29, it says, is he the God of the Jews only? Or is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Do you know why he asked that question? He asked the question because we just get out, when you're coming through chapter 3, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness which is of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. The key is, he said, there is no difference. There's no difference. It doesn't matter if they were a Jew or a Gentile. Because all, we found out from 2 and 3, all have sinned. If we're all in the same boat, we're all what?
Dead.
There's no advantage to being a Jew or a Gentile, even if God gave them written instructions. It doesn't matter because their foundation is the same. They both have a wicked heart. They both have a, they're both under sin. That's what Romans 3 said, 3:10. They're all under sin. That is, under its dominion, under its influence. And they display that whenever they're given the commandment of God, they always transgress. And it's proven. That's why we, you look at it, it says, even, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And it said it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. And we found out, well, you may not remember, last week, is a witness is a person that can testify to something they've seen, heard, or been a recipient of. So you go back and you can look at any of the law, any under the law and the prophets, or if they weren't under the law and the prophets, and he uses the examples of Abraham and David, you can see that they've all been justified by works. No. They've all been justified by faith. You can go back and you can prove that. That is the argument. God says it, but now, they couldn't say that back then. They couldn't say, well, I'm not going to do that because I know it doesn't mean anything. For example, Noah could not say, I'm not going to build that boat because God knows my heart. He knows I believe him, right? Now, the same thing with...
But Hebrews says, by faith, Noah did that.
By the instrumentality of whatever God says use at that time, that's what they did. By faith, Noah moved with fear, reverence, built an ark to the saving of his house. And by it said, by it, he became
an heir.
And by it, I know that's not right, he condemned the world. By it, who had the instructions at that time? Adam. Noah. He had the instructions. He operated by faith, right? The others, they would have got in. Through believing the message that Noah preached, they didn't lift a hammer. They didn't help. I'm assuming they didn't help. All we can go by is the record, which is silent. But chances are nobody responded. Obviously, only 8 souls. But because he responded by faith, he became a beneficiary of whatever what God promised, which was deliverance. Right? Mm-hmm. And so when you go, it's always been by faith. And that's where Paul's coming, makes that argument. And he says, it's unto all. The righteousness of God without the law is unto all. And upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. And he sets that groundwork in chapter 3 to go forward. It's gonna repeat itself all the way through his epistles. No difference. The response he wants is faith. Unto all and upon all them that believe. What's the synonym for belief?
Faith.
Okay, so they says, well, is he the God of the Jews only? Because they're the only ones that had the direct revelation, written revelation from God.
And failed.
So you figure, well, if they're the only ones that God was speaking to at that time, they're the only ones that get the benefit. He already concluded them. He said the Gentiles are, they're out there without God, mm-hmm. without Christ, strangers from the covenants of promise. So they said, well, is he the God? Is this benefit only for the Jews?
But now.
In the past, how would a Gentile become a partaker
of
life? He'd have to
become a Jew.
He had to become as a Jew. He had to become
Israel. Right?
Right.
It's like Rahab.
He had to be
right,
and he adopted the Jewish religion. He did good to them. That's in agreement.
The Abrahamic covenant.
You got to recognize them. That's why he says, "Is he the God of the Jews? Is this righteousness?"
In other words,
only.
In other words, when he was the God of the Jews, even at that time of the Gentiles outcast, there was still provision for them if they...
If a Gentile believed, what would he do?
He would bless Israel.
And what else?
Join Israel.
How?
He'd get circumcised.
And what else?
Pay tithes.
Oh, well. He would bless them. He would try to keep the law.
Right.
No.
He would try. So, when he asked that question, he says in 3:20, Paul says in 3:29, Romans 3:29, he says, "Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith." Do we make void the law? If both can get righteousness without the law, then the logical question is, well, what good is this? What good is the law? For example, if we both work for the same, we both apply for the same job, I'm qualified, you aren't. If they hire both of us,
same pay grade,
what good is my degree? If you're telling me I need to have a degree and you hire us both, I don't have a degree, you do, what good is the degree?
It's of none effect.
It's of none effect. That's why they ask the question, is do we make void the law? In this case, he says, he says, certainly not. Like, we established the law because the question is this. It's not about your degree or you not having a degree. It's about the employer, whether I want you to work for me or not. If I want you to work for me, I will make it possible for you to work for me, whether you have a degree or not. That's where God says, if I want to justify you, I don't need to know if you kept the law or not. I just need to know that you believe that I've made an exception for you. What's the exception?
Grace.
Huh? What's the exception he made for the Jew and the Gentile?
No performance.
What's the basis of him saying, God saying, you don't have to perform?
Because I performed on your behalf.
I performed on your behalf.
Peace.
By the propitiation. It goes right back to... That's not fair.
She said the
court said. That's the key. You know what? Everything, in my estimation, comes back to 325. That is the key. When you understand the propitiatory work of Christ and how God is able to justify a man without works in any past, present, or future. That's the key. Yeah.
The way you laid all that out, you didn't quite answer the question, so I'm just going to ask, when it says we establish the law, is that we agree that we can't do it? Is that how we establish it? Or that the law was never meant to make us righteous?
Right. Just what we said. It's not whether you keep the law or not, it's the fact that God has made a provision without it.
Okay, but I understand the concept you just said, but he says we establish
the law. And last week, and we'll cover a little bit this week, we establish it. This is how the law is established. And we went over some verses last week, is if you understand the purpose of the law, when you come through chapter 2, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law,
shall no flesh be justified.
In Romans, we're coming up. What?
No, it's
we're coming up to this, and he's going to show you that the law made the law exceeding sinful. The law is not written for a righteous man, but for the lawless, the disobedient. Galatians said, cursed is the man that continueth not in all things of the law to do it. Not the hearers of the law, but what? The doers of the law. And what the law could not do, what could it not do? In that it was weak.
Couldn't take away sin.
Through you. It was weak through you. It couldn't save, couldn't take away sin. It could not make you righteous. Not because the law wasn't righteous and holy and good. It's because the person that was trying to do it is not holy and righteous and good. But there was one who came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we'll come up on that. So when Paul goes over the law, he tells you over and over and over again that the law was, even for the Jews, it was a schoolmaster. It told you what to do and what not to do until you found, for example, take Johnny, for example, and his daughter. You know what? He had to tell her what to do and what not to do. Why?
He does or he doesn't?
He does.
Yeah, because
he's not knowledgeable yet.
Oh, she's knowledgeable. That's why he can tell her what to do and what not to do.
Until she's in Christ. She's not
close. She's not grown up yet. What does that mean? She's not grown up yet.
Established.
She's not mature.
She's not.
Yeah.
She's not mature. Okay, Galatians. Hold your hand. Romans. Galatians. Well, let me get my other one here. Galatians chapter 4. What verse is that? 4:1. Let's start at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To liberate, to free those that were under the law. Free them from what?
Bondage.
Bondage to what?
Sin.
To what?
Sin.
To sin. Now we're going to see how the law worketh. It's the reason why Paul goes forward. He said the law worketh wrath. The law is the ministration of death. The law is bondage. He says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The reason why he has to tell her what to do and what not to do.
She's still a child.
She's still a child.
Not a son.
And you don't become a son until you receive the spirit that liberates you from the do's and don'ts. Do you ever remember in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul makes a statement. He says, all things are lawful to me.
All things
are lawful to me.
But all things aren't expedient.
All things, when he says all things are lawful, what is he saying?
I'm not under the law.
Huh?
I'm not under the law.
All things are right. All things are lawful. In other words, okay, if she was 21, would she have to ask you what she can do?
Not really, but yeah, but not really. You don't have to ask me.
She's the one who I was 18.
But according to, you know.
That's in your mind.
Yeah, in my mind.
Yeah, okay, yes. Now, let's say legally. Lawfully, 18. Would she have to ask you what to do and what not to do?
No.
Because she's grown now and accountable, right?
Right.
That's what Paul says. Now that I'm not a child anymore, all things are lawful. I don't have a list of things that I can and can't do. But as a son, I have to weigh those things and see if they're expedient or not. If they right, if they're profitable for my growth, seeing that now that I'm, as Galatians says, now that I'm saying Abba Father, you know what that means? Take a guess. If she's saying, Daddy, how long are you going to make me do this? And he's going to say, forever. He's going to say forever. That's a question.
Until you make those decisions on your own.
Until, so when she, that's why, look, that's why when she gets 15, when your daughters, when they get certain age, you know what they're going to say? I can't wait. Till I'm what?
18.
So I could do what?
What I want to
do.
So I could do what I want to do. Even if those things aren't expedient.
Let me put you so.
And you know what? You could like it or not. Guess what?
Don't matter.
They're going to do it.
Anyway.
That's what Paul is saying. Look, I'm free. I've been redeemed. I've been liberated. I could do what I want to do because I'm not under do's and don'ts. That's why he said, look, To those who are under the law, I became as under the law, yet not without law under Christ. Mm-hmm. He says, I understand who I am. So the decisions, even if your daughters get to a certain age, I can't wait to get out of here. If they felt that relationship with you, they're going to say, you know what, I can do whatever I want to do, but I know my father, he ain't going to like that. So I'm not going to do those things, not because I can't, but because I know he don't like it.
Or how about, I know the wisdom of my father, and it's perfect, and I know that's the right thing.
That's what
myself.
Because
I'm taking it onto my own thing.
Because you trust him. You trust that he has always been right. His information has always been right.
And he's faithful, and he has integrity, and I can trust that.
He's never told me the wrong thing, so why wouldn't I trust him?
Mm-hmm. You can't see him.
Now, if you don't have that, that trust, mm-hmm. that relationship, then you're going to do some things that's either they're lawful for you, but they're going to be
unprofitable.
Yes, they're going to be unprofitable and not expedient. That's a term of yes. That's where the Lord, you know, that's the other place where he says it in John. This is the other place right here. In Romans, you got Romans 8, you got Galatians 3, and you got John, where when the Lord's in the garden, he's at the ultimate crossword road where he realizes what he's getting, going to the cross, and he says, Dear Father, if there's any other way than this,
let this cup pass.
But nevertheless, I'm going to trust you that what you're saying is right. And your way is the right way. So it doesn't matter what I'm lawful to do, what I'm able to do, what I am. When the Lord said, this commandment I have of my Father, I can lay down my life. So when he goes into the crucifixion, it's not mandatory. We're getting deviating a little bit, but it's not that he can't back out. But it's because of the commitment that he's made and the obedience. Not because he's under bondage to do it. It's because he wants to.
It's the best.
And he knows it's the best. Even though it's not what he wants for himself, he knows if my Father says this is the way to do it, I will ask, is there a,
because he's human.
And he says, he didn't even wait for the answer. He said, nevertheless, mm-hmm.
not my will, but thine.
That is a son talking, not a child. So when he goes,
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So when you make that distinction, that's a son talking. It's almost like you're saying he knows his father, so he didn't even wait for an answer.
He doesn't. Right. He doesn't have to. If you have that relationship, you don't even have to ask, what is my father going to say about this? Unless you just want to hear it. You already know, going to it, that You know what? Let me ask my father. I already know what he's going to say, but
gotcha.
You remember when he was raising Lazarus from the dead, and he prays, he says, Father, he says, I'm paraphrasing this, I'm praying this for their sakes. For the people that were that listened to him.
That they might know.
That they might know what? John.
A lot of chapters.
Huh?
A lot of chapters in John.
Yeah, John. I'll find it. I think it was 11, 12. John 11. John 11:38. Let's start there. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou what?
Hast heard me.
And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did
believed
on him. Now, the only reason I use that verse is because being a son, there's a reason why he stayed away for 4 days.
Make sure he was good and stinky.
That's no problem.
Right.
It could have been 14 days.
Gotcha. He good and
it. Look, when they were talking about it, and the scripture said that he knew. He tarried on purpose. Because he's going through and they're still wondering.
Can he do it? Are you the one?
Is he the one? The God, is he really the Son of God?
So he was to remove all doubt by the...
Yeah.
Is he really?
Well, even John the Baptist questioned.
Are they really that? Is he really the Son of God? Look, his brothers and sisters said, look, go on up to the feast. And do these things. Could no man who wants to show himself openly keep these things a secret?
He's doing what his father wants him to do, not what other people.
That's it.
Well, let's just continue what the Old Testament said. Here's how you know that your Messiah has come to you, with raising the dead, healing the sick. Death is the ultimate sickness.
Now, he did those things because the signs and wonders, and we're going to get back to Romans, and this is related. Those signs and wonders were for them to believe. And they went to a certain... Say it again.
They required a sign.
They required a sign. But at the midway point in his ministry, he stops. When I say he stops, he stops doing the miracles,
right.
And he tells them, he says don't tell anybody that I'm the Son of God. Don't tell them anymore. Because now, because they never responded. Just like the Father, you know what the son of the Father wants? He wants them to respond in faith.
And they just wanted to see the show.
That's what they said. Lord, he said, let me
see another sign. They just wanted the monkey shine. But they had no faith. That's why they kept wanting to see more and more and more.
Yeah, there would never be enough signs.
Right.
That's what they said. If one, let me go back and tell my brothers, Lazarus, that don't come to this place. And he said, it won't help. Even if one rose from the dead and went back, they wouldn't believe. And he said, they have
Abraham and the prophets.
They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't
believe them,
they won't
believe
me. Even if one rose from the dead. And guess what? One did rise from the dead. He did.
Yeah.
And they still didn't believe.
Yeah.
It's always, the issue is faith. Mm-hmm. So you go back to Romans, where we're talking about the law. These are people who were under the law. They had it. Didn't they?
Yeah.
We talked about last week that the tabernacle, the fire, never went out. They were always, it never went out because they never stopped sinning. Even after the 1 year big extravaganza offering.
Mm-hmm. They were just going through the motions.
You see, she said they were just going through the motions. You know, before we started earlier, we talked about, look, you're not going to change this world on the mass. You're not going to change the world on the mass. You're not going to change the city on the mass. You're not going to change your house on the mass. You're not even going to change completely. Listen, last week, when I say Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, did you do everything?
No.
Let me change that. Did you do something that was not in faith? In other words, James said this, Paul said, whatsoever not of faith is what?
Sin.
Did you sin last week?
Yeah, but I ain't going to list them out for you.
Okay. As long as we're on the same page. No.
Still about that nature.
It's you know what this is? It is
continuous.
It's continuous. It's a process. You can believe God. That's called walking, right? It's a process. Remember you asked few weeks ago, how do I know when I'm doing it right? You know it because when you find that word and that's it. That's how you know. That's it. So when you go back, it's not a performance.
Yeah.
Paul asked in 4, he said, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Now, he's not just, the Jews looked at Abraham as their fleshly father. But what was he in the flesh before he was a Jew?
A
What kind? He was a Gentile, wasn't he? And the only reason he was different, we looked at it last week, it was because God said he was different. God called him to be something that he was not before.
Yes, I thought.
Just like you. Romans, back to Romans. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? And the question is, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So what did Abraham find? He says, what now? What now? What did Abraham get?
Righteousness.
The reason he's asking that is because, look, Abraham, right, he is righteous. We know that. The scripture said Abraham was the friend of God. And he's, the question, huh? Because he believed. And the question, Paul, is plus Abraham is the beginning, and he's beginning of the Hebrews. He's the beginning of the Israelites. He's the beginning of the Jews.
He's the father of all of us before
you. So they're looking at this. They're looking at the law and its works, and they're equating the works with righteousness, because all they can see is this: God gave us the law. We got it. He's speaking to us. We're special. Mm-hmm. He gave it to us because, not to make us righteous, but because we are. And he's saying, no, no, no. It's not by
works of righteousness, which we have done, but by...
And he said, well, wait a minute. Because they're making the connection.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. That's where Jesus goes to the Jews, and he says, "I'm coming," huh?
Because Abraham took Isaac, they considered that a work.
And
yeah, so.
But that was later. But when he goes to the Jews, and he says. He says, I'm coming to deliver you out of bondage. He said, well, you got the wrong group of people. We are what? We never been in bondage to any man. And he says, wait a minute.
You don't even see your chains.
He that committed sin
is a slave to sin.
As a
servant to sin.
He says, you in bondage right now. And you are the slave master. The inner you. And he said, he that committed sin is the servant of sin. It didn't register, because they didn't realize the inner state. Not the way you drive the cars at.
The inner man.
The inner man state, right.
The what? They were concerned with the external.
Right.
The outside of the cup.
Right.
Tombs full of dead men's bones.
So, oh, right. What shall we say then that Abraham had found pertaining to the flesh? He had whereof to glory.
But not for God.
But not for God. For what said the scripture? Abraham
believed.
Abraham believed.
And it
so Abraham's belief was equivalent to righteousness in God's sight. Abraham's belief was accounted for righteousness, not Abraham's
circumcision,
not Abraham's offering of Isaac, but when God just made the promise to him, he said that, God said that was counted, estimated.
And because he believed, he did what he said. He moved, he circumcised.
See, that's all after.
Yeah.
Considered it, he considered it.
Right.
And the word is, he imputed it, Abraham's faith. He says, because he believes me, and he didn't, you know what? He didn't do anything. He says, how old are you? He says, I'm 75. He says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He says, honey, God says, I'm going to be a father of many nations. And you're going to be the mother. So, they go on. They go on 10 years. They go on 10 years, nothing happens. And she says, well, sure, maybe it's Hagar. 1 year later, right? Maybe it's Hagar. But because they didn't wait, they made a big mistake, didn't they? But guess what? God had already pronounced him what? He didn't take it back. He didn't take it back. That's why it's imputed. That is, he what?
Past tense.
That is, he attributed something to Abraham that he did not possess naturally, which is
righteousness.
And it wasn't temporary. That's how he could mess up after that and still be called the friend of God and still be God's man.
That's how he can still mess up and be righteous.
That's how, okay.
He's the father of death.
He's the father of what?
Faith.
Of all them that believe. That's what he said, the father of faith. So he says, what? That's what Paul starting off. He said, well, what about Abraham? What did he find? What did he find? What did he find?
Righteousness.
What did he find? Yes. In a word, what did he find?
Grace.
Yes, he found grace.
Salvation.
Imputation. He found imputation. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. They show you, they can say, how did you get that? And he says, well, I offered my son. I was circumcised. He won't say that. That won't be his first or second answer. Well, it won't be, his answer will be a one answer.
Right.
How'd you get that? And he says, it was what?
Imputed.
Well, what else did you do? He said, oh, let me see. Nothing.
I believe that's it.
How'd you keep it? He said, well, nothing. That's what he'll tell you.
In fact, the world will tell you today, if you're doing this, if you're all the things that he did, you can't be saved.
Just because they don't understand how God is able, through the propitiation, the propitiatory work of Christ, he's able to impute righteousness, which upon all of them that believe, whoever it is, he can give you, he can take that righteousness and put it upon you. And the only condition is that you believe. The only condition is that you believe. Whether it was past or present. Because he's just, if it's in the past, he can give it to Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, Daniel, all the prophets, law, prophets. He can give it to them because he dealt with their shortcomings by that work. And over here, he can give it to Peter, Paul, and whoever. He can justify them. Because he can impute it to their account just because they believe. No works. He says, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. You work, you get paid. It's called a payment. It's a debt. A debt is something owed to you. If Abraham worked for it, God owed him. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth
the ungodly.
So before you're justified, you're what? Pretty good.
Ungodly.
You're ungodly. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, just like Abraham was. And he picks another man, even David. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man. Notice the difference here. Unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Saying, blessed is the man, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Mercy.
Now, Abraham, David. He talks to David. He talks to Abraham. And he gave Abraham, he imputed his righteousness because Abraham believed. Right? David got imputed righteousness in this aspect too. He did not impute sin to him. You say, I don't get it.
He didn't count it. He didn't get punished for it.
Here's something. Here's something that he counted to Abraham. And so here's something that he counted not to David. Here's your dual aspect of imputation. It's not only does he impute the righteousness unto you, he does not impute what? Your unrighteousness to you.
Once grace, once mercy.
So, now you remember lessons and lessons ago, we talked about that propitiatory work, right? Mm-hmm. And what was in the ark, we talked about that, right? How the things that God told them to put in the ark, but they were also delivered, because every one of those things, they were deserved to die. He said, put it in here, because these rebels, they deserve to die, but put it in there, it's a token for them. Those rebels, they deserve to die, put that rod in there, it's a token for them, that they die not. The law, they broke the law, they deserve to die, but put it in the coffin, but on top of that,
yes,
was what?
The mercy seat.
The what?
Mercy.
The mercy seat. That is where people that thing, when you do things that deserve death, there's somewhere you can go to find imputation. Forgiveness. You can find forgiveness through the act of imputation. He says, now, the reason that God can do that is because he set forth his son to be a propitiation. So he's just. He says, I'm dealing with all this. And he's the justifier. I can not give you death and turn around and also what? Give you life freely. So David, he described the blessedness, and we know the story. Now, under the law, David was, he had no recourse, no excuse. You know, I was thinking about this. David, we'll just take the 10. I don't remember all these. That's have no other gods before me. Love them with all your heart, mind, soul. I think he broke that one. Pretty safe to say that, right? What's this? Which one is that? Oh, okay, let's. Well,
so the last one is coming. He definitely broke that.
And then the neighbor's wife.
Yeah,
He definitely got that one.
That's adultery.
No murder. He got that one.
That's murder. I believe that's the murder. Tell you what. Look at Exodus. Huh?
20.
20, yeah. We narrow it down to he committed adultery. But where are we at here? 20. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto any graven image. Okay, he maybe got by with that one. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. You know what he said to Nathan? He said, the man that surely as the Lord liveth, the man that done this thing shall surely die. He swore by God, and did he die? Okay. Well, on the spot, he didn't die. Remember the Sabbath day? You know, well, what if he did do it on Saturday? You don't know that. Yeah. Honor thy father and mother. We don't give him the... That's... Thou shalt not kill.
You're right.
7, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Bathsheba.
8, thou shalt not steal. Stole that man's wife. 9, bear false witness. Told a lie. He said, you know what? Go on into your wife. And he was setting up false witness because he would have thought it was his baby.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture said that Uriah was honorable and he slept on the steps. And David comes out and says, man, how you didn't go home? You messing my plot up. 10, covetous. Now, you know what? No other gods before you. He pretty much, I'm going to say that. I'm saying that he broke that. Because the minute...
He put his own lust ahead of
that's
what he meant.
So you got maybe 2 questionable. Sabbath day.
Doesn't matter if he defended and wanted to defend it at all.
That's the point.
It doesn't matter. If it's one and done.
He's all, you know what? All of them like dominoes. So, in David, he knows. He knows the consequences.
Well, sure. That's why when Nathan confronted him, he said the man will pay back 4-fold. That was what was in the law.
He was thinking of one thing.
Right.
He did a lot of things.
Plus, he didn't know he was being pointed to either.
See, that's what I say. See, he's thinking about the stealing.
Yeah.
No. He did a whole lot.
More than that.
That's why.
Bending one, bending all.
Now, but Nathan says, you done messed up. Bad. He didn't say that, but I'm saying that, paraphrasing. But the Lord had put away thy sin. Look. He put it away. Now, this is what we say this, like Karen just said, that he paid 4-fold. If he paid 4-fold, then the Lord counted it against him.
That's true, because he was paying the penalty himself.
The Lord did not impute that to him. I don't care if it was 14 in this house. That was from him shedding blood, and the Lord told him that the sword is never going to leave your house. Different incident. This incident, the Lord had put away thy sin. Now, he did say this, but the baby
mm-hmm.
won't live. But think about the list. Think about what he did, and being a king and understand.
Huh? Yeah, compared to what God called out.
Yeah, don't you think?
He would be rolling out the scroll.
Don't you think that David, when he sat down and he thought about that thing, he said,
"I got away with a lot."
He adding this. He adding this up. He's like,
dang, I'm lucky.
Praise God.
I'll be 6 feet under. I am blessed and highly favored.
He said, that's why David described the blessedness
of the man to whom God does not impute.
Saying, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's, you know, I like. He said, David describeth it. So you know what? He says, well, look, David the king, he said, you God's man? Yes, I'm God's man. And well, what is God doing for you? He said, let me tell you about it. Sit down. Let me tell you. Let me describe this to you. Once upon a time, not long ago, and he tell you that story. Yeah. We got the same story. Mm-hmm. We got the same story. If I sat you down and told you the things I've done, you wouldn't say, blessed is the Lord that didn't impute sin. You would be like,
whoa.
Really?
Not done, but thinking.
You wouldn't even find room for forgiveness.
You'd be judgy.
Every time I come in, I can go listen to him. But not after what he did. I can't.
He's so nasty.
But you ain't going to tell me your story either.
No, what happened to you?
So, well, let's exchange.
Nope.
Stories.
You know, the funny part is that we seen so much fruit until you told us the truth.
Listen, all I'm saying is this. That's why imputation is so important. Is this. God knows you. Before, during, and after your belief. And he still gives you that standing. He changes your standing.
So this is the way that you think as well.
What do you mean when you say that?
When I say it, I mean, there's sinful behavior or whatever. Isn't it about what you think as well? You may not have done it or acted on it, but you thought about it.
Sure, because he didn't take the sin nature, those urges out of you. He delivered you from their dominion. And this is what the reason why he did that was that you could determine on your own whether I want to serve him or not. He doesn't want to make you do it. If you see what God has done for you out of goodness, out of appreciation, out of his love constraining you, you realize that, you know what, I'm delivered from this. And you can have the attitude like Jesus did, or like Paul talks about, you can make that choice and say, Father, I could do this. But I know it's not expedient. But I can't help it. I can't help it. See, that's where he said, wait a minute. We got a disconnect here. That's Romans 6. He starts telling you, like, I put my spirit in you so you can stop using that excuse. Your answer is going to be I wanted to. Not, I couldn't help it. You know how I know that's your answer?
That's your answer.
Because that's her answer. And his.
Not mine.
And yours. And mine.
But you can't willfully sin. You know that's what they're saying.
Yeah, I know what they say. That's why it's written. So what they say, it doesn't compare to what's written. And the key is, again, it's that imputed righteousness that he imputes to you without works and is permanent. And he gives you the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, the empowerment, so you can stop making those excuses. Now, of course he knows the flesh against the spirit, spirit against the flesh.
Yeah.
But the warring, right. But that's why he wants that's a process. See, that's done. If you walked in the Spirit, that's yesterday. Or last, or whatever. But that's why when Paul talks about, I'm not yet perfect, but one thing I do is I follow after and I forget those things. That's yesterday. 2 hours, whatever the time, whatever the failure or success was. And you know, I borrowed one from somebody said this. It was Steve Harvey. He was saying that he heard from T.D. Jakes that you can't live your life. You can't go forward looking in the rearview mirror. I thought that was a good analogy. You can't walk with God looking at all your failures in the back.
If God ain't looking at them, you shouldn't either.
Because he's certainly not holding them against you. I'm the one keeping track of you, not God. So, you know what? Now we're going to stop with this, but I'm saying that because you know what's good to me is when I'm sitting and I'm reading this and you know what? And realize this. I don't have to live up to your expectations, to my job's expectations for my righteousness, my walk, my family's expectations, my wife's expectations. I don't have to live up to their performance standard of me. And you don't either. Now, I'm not saying do whatever you want to do. All I'm saying is this, is you have a standing, and we have a standing in Christ that he's well pleased with us because of the imputed righteousness that we receive by faith. And nobody can change that. So they can look at me and say, you know what, he's not a good employee. The scripture said I should be. But they're not the decide. They decide factor. They could fire me if I'm not a good employee. But I know in his eyes, I'm still well pleasing. I'm not going to lose my salvation.
Right.
My family, they may have me on a performance and I can't meet it. Your children may have you on a performance you can't meet. Your spouse certainly might have you on a performance you can't meet. But it's something in that, it's a peace in knowing in that position when nobody else is pleased with you, he is. Ah. It is for me. And that's what keeps the tank full. That's it. And you know what happens? If they ever learn that, their perception of you will change. Because they won't be looking at you. They won't, they'll take you off of their performance scale. But there's very few that have that knowledge, that have that understanding. So, right. All right, we'll stop there. We'll pick up next time at 4-ish, 4-something. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our benefit, the things that pertain to faith and how we are to receive imputed righteousness, to be pronounced righteous without works. We just thank you again for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who is able to impute his righteousness unto us that believe, upon us that believe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.